Okay, my name is Molly Mayer, and I'm the RTI webinar coordinator for the New York State RTI Technical Assistance Center. And I have just a few reminders before we get started today. All upcoming professional development offerings are available on our webpage at nysrti.org, and we just recently posted two new webinar strands. It's first one starts in February, so we hope you'll check those out. A copy of today's PowerPoint is available on our webpage under Webinars and then under today's webinar title. During today's presentation, please use the chat box for any questions or comments that you may have. And at the end of today's presentation, we'll post a link to a very brief evaluation. If you could please take a few minutes to complete that, we very much appreciate the feedback. And we are very pleased to have back with us Dr. Sharon Palsha to present our Strand 9 series, Dialogic Reading as a Tier 1 Intervention in a Pre-K RTI Model. Today's topic is Implementing Dialogic Reading in Your Classroom. Dr. Palsha is a clinical associate professor and the coordinator of Child Development and Family Studies Program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Dr. Palsha has 38 years' experience working with children and families. She spent 8 years as a classroom teacher before attending graduate school. She earned her doctorate in education from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill with a concentration in early childhood and early childhood special education. Currently, she is a clinical associate professor at UNC, where she has worked for 13 years preparing undergraduate students as early childhood educators who will teach young children ages birth to five. Her early childhood students have been using dialogic reading successfully for many years during their student teaching and then their own classrooms. Before taking the job as a professor, Dr. Palsha spent 15 years as a researcher at the Frank Porter Graham Child Development Institute. She continues to maintain affiliation with Frank Porter Graham Child Development Institute as an FPG fellow. She played an instrumental role in developing the dialogic reading module with the FPG Connect project and is very excited to share her knowledge through our webinar strand on dialogic reading. And at this time, I'd like to welcome Dr. Palsha.
Thank you, Molly, and welcome to all of you who are participating in today's webinar. Again, I am sorry that I cannot be together there with you in person, but I am really hopeful to have an active webinar participation group again like we did last Thursday. I am coming to you again from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. We had our first snow of the winter this past Sunday morning, and we are expecting 1 to 3 inches on Saturday. So this is our old well in the snow. I would love to have Molly do another quick poll today to see who's listening. I hope many of you decided to return. I did see some familiar names. And as I said, we had such an active participant group last week, which was greatly appreciated. I trust you are ready to participate again today. So if we can have a poll, that would be great. All right, a lot of pre-K teachers, speech language pathologists. I'd love for those others, right, to start putting in who they are. Preschool special ed teacher, good. Hello again. Well, thank you, really, for being such an active group here. So administrator, love it. More pre-K teachers. So it looks like about everyone has checked in. Thank you. So we're still a large group of others. Well, last Thursday's goals were to understand what dialogic reading is, to understand what makes dialogic reading different from other types of reading, identify the research basis for dialogic reading, learn the key features of dialogic reading, and understand why dialogic reading is a foundational response to intervention, Tier 1 intervention strategy. So if you did miss last week, I hope you took time to listen to the webinar. because we covered a lot of information last week. So those of you who did watch or listened in last week, type a few words to describe the primary difference between dialogic reading and traditional storybook reading. What message did you take away? So your chance to type in a few words. Good, interactive. Engage students in the book. Active dialogue, interactive. Loving it. So yes, dialogic reading is a method that helps young children become involved in the story. They are in a dialogue or conversation with you around that book. So I trust this week many of you moved away from reading and asking children to only listen and moved to dialogic reading in which you encourage children to be in a conversation with you around the book. As we talked about last week, research has shown that dialogic reading enhances language and communication skills and builds vocabulary. So our goals for today, as described in the flyer, the pure sequence of dialogic reading, which we actually addressed last week, the use of prompts and questions, again, we addressed that last week, and try it in your own classroom, which I hope many of you did this week. Dialogic reading, as you hopefully recall from last week, relies on the set of strategies called peer and crowd. You added new acronyms to your vocabulary. So let's see how much you remember. Peer sequence. What does that first P stand for? Let's see that chat room go again, explode here. Yep, all right. Prompts. Using crowd prompts. All right, the first E. I feel like I should be giving out prizes for those of you who are ready to type quickly. Exactly. You evaluate, you ask the question, and then you evaluate the child's response. Oh, and some people are already saying what that next E is for. Good. Expand on the child's response. And then write. Repeat. Have the child repeat the expanded response or repeat the peer sequence with additional prompts. All right, we're going to do the same thing here with the crowd prompt. So, the first C, what does it stand for? All right, Emily, first one to respond that time. Completion prompts. So, last week we definitely got involved with, and he was still hungry. Okay, the R. Good. Recall. O. Right, open-ended questions. That's really an opportunity for the child to talk. And then the W's, the where, what, why, when questions. Good. And then the last one, the D. Good, Laura got that one. Distancing, connection to students' lives. All right, everyone did an awesome job there. Thank you so much. So, good recap. And then again, if you are joining us today for the first time, please go back and look at the first webinar. So this is a great overview slide of dialogic reading strategies, prompt, using the crowd prompt, and then evaluating, expanding, and repeating. Don't forget that before reading, you want to introduce the title, author, and illustrator of the book, and ask a question to create interest in the book. During the reading, use those crowd prompts and peer sequence. After reading, ask questions to help children recall the story and make connections to their lives. And something I didn't say last week, but I hope I demonstrated, was read with expression. Get those children engaged in the book. Use different voices for different characters. Children love that. All right. Wanted to take some time to respond to questions from last week. There was the question, is it better to do this as a first read or as a reread, or are there benefits for both? And as I noted last week in my comments, there are benefits to both. Reading the book the very first time as a dialogic reading with all crowd prompts, or introducing the book with key vocabulary. That is more of just the WH questions. What is this? As you point to pictures. And then asking more questions or additional readings. Repeated readings of the same storybook allows child multiple opportunities to comprehend and expand upon ideas presented in the story. So rereading is really a good thing to do with young children. Related to that question, and also comment from last week, in dialogic reading, are you doing multiple readings of the text with teacher reading the story? And so with multiple readings, your questions and prompts would be different. And yes, that is the case. And there was a comment or suggestion by a participant. I usually do several reads of the text with different targets in mind, which is an excellent approach to dialogic reading. And in fact, I thought it would be helpful that I happen to have a video by Dr. Lonergan explaining the different types of questions you can use in dialogic reading. So we will watch this short video.
The main unique feature about dialogic reading is really not about reading. It's really about having the conversation. So there are lots of different ways you can think about it. One of the ways that I like to think about it is that there are different levels of dialogic reading. So anybody who has ever read a book with a young child knows that children like to be read the same book over and over again. They get favorite books, and oftentimes they'll bring that book to you continuously to read over. So children are getting more and more familiar with books the more times that the book is read to them. And dialogic reading takes advantage of that in the sense that as children learn more about the book or have more conversations about the book, they're developing a vocabulary way of talking about the book. So the first phase of dialogic reading is really just these simple WH type questions. What is this? What's it called? What's it made of? What is he doing? So it's it's about the big things in the pictures, the big actions in the pictures. And then what we like to do is have adults or teachers follow up correct answers with follow-up questions. So like I said, if the child answers that it's a bicycle, maybe asking them about parts of the bicycle, like the pedals or the wheels or the handlebars. In the second phase, or what I like to call level two, it's moving a little bit beyond the vocabulary. So the first phase in a book is really using level one, where the teacher or the adult is making sure that the child knows the words of the things that are pictured in the book. And in the second phase, it's using that language in a way to really tell the story. So the types of question changes from the simple WH-type question to a more open-ended question, like maybe turning to a page and just letting a child pick something to talk about. You know, what do you see here that the adult or the teacher may ask, or tell me about this page, or what's happening? So it really doesn't specify that you have to talk about the bicycle or anything like that. So it really gives the child ownership of what it is that they're going to tell about the book or what they're going to tell about the story. And then in the final phase of dialogic reading, is a phase where maybe teachers will connect what's going on in the book, either the things in the book or something about the story, to something in the child's own life, or maybe connecting the end part of the book with the beginning part of the book. So really building up a narrative about the book. So asking questions of like, well, do you remember what happened at the beginning of the story and why is he doing this? So that has the child talking about the story, but talking about it sort of distant from the page of the book you're on right now, or say maybe the book is about going to the zoo or seeing different animals at the zoo, and maybe the class had done a field trip to the zoo, or they had done some other activity about zoo animals. So maybe the teacher would ask a question that related that that experience or that field trip to what's going on in the story. Do you remember when we went to the zoo? And what was that like? And which animals did you see? We picked this book, The Itsy Bitsy Spider, because it had good pictures for level one and level two. So on this page, which I can no longer find, where it had the picture of the buff and the pail, the level one question might be, what's this a picture of? It's a pail. What color is it? It's yellow. What do you use a pail for? To carry water or to wash things? On level two, you might turn to this page and say, well, what's going on here? What do you see here? And the child who has already gone through level one would say, well, I see a pail. And the teacher might say, I see a yellow pail. And what else do you see? The teacher would ask. And the child might say, there's a mop there. And the teacher says, yeah, there's a mop and a pail of water. And then moving on to level three, the teacher might ask the child something that follows up on that sort of conversation. So you use a mop and a pail to clean things. Have you ever cleaned things, or who uses a mop at home in your house? Level three type question is something that extends beyond the pages of the book to something in a child's own life. Or, do you remember yesterday when it rained outside and the rain came in through the window and the man had to come in with a mop and a pail? What was he doing with the mop and the pail?
Okay, so I thought that was a good video for the questions last week to understand that you know your children and you decide what is best on how to introduce the book. As I explained last week, a true dialogic reading will have a combination of all those prompts, and I wanted you to plan around the book with actually two of each of the prompts, and that goes very well with a typical classroom. And yet if you have a group of children, English language learners, for example, that you need to start with that first phase or level one, as Dr. Lonergan explained, talking about and identifying the pictures, just building vocabulary. And then after that vocabulary has been established, expanding on the use of the vocabulary and having a conversation about what is happening in the book using the vocabulary. And then moving to phase three, building more of the narrative of the book, connecting what is happening in the book to the child's life. And I see Pamela has written in the chat room here, this enhances metacognition. So thank you for your contributions. So response to another question from last week is, how do you feel about using this with Tier 2 students? And I feel it's a great idea. As a teacher, though, where would you find time in your day to do dialogic reading with just one or two children? So when might that happen? If you're a preschool teacher, where could you find time to sit down to do a one-on-one or one-on-two or three? During centers? When other children are in learning centers, quiet time, free choice centers. Fabulous. Exactly what I thought about during center time and in the reading center, right? Or during nap time as a settling in routine. Think if you had as many as five children that you really wanted to do this one-on-one time with, and you just, Monday is one child, Tuesday is another child, and they look forward to this time. And I know preschool rooms in North Carolina, well, in our town of Chapel Hill, if it is a blended classroom, meaning an inclusive classroom where there are children with disabilities in the room, there's as many as three teachers. So actually three children a day could be read to at center time or at nap time possibly. Great, I'm seeing that like during quiet time or learning centers. Someone else last week, a literacy facilitator, I'm not sure if that individual is on right now, but thinking about trying it with Tier 3 older students, and I wondered if you are participating today, what you meant by older, And I would like to suggest you can do this with younger children who have as their primary IEP goal enhancing language skills. So I think this can be tier one foundational practice, tier two, and tier three. So even reading to a group of four or five children, children will have more opportunities to talk. And again, you will know who those children are that you want to target to have this smaller group experience around the books. Finding other possible times in the day to read. I work with a mentor teacher who tries to read a minimum of 3 books a day. So in her morning circle time, she always does a dialogic reading. And then at lunchtime, when some children are finishing up quickly, so she never starts immediately with a book. She allows conversation to happen at the table. But then as children are finishing up and children are going to the bathroom, brushing teeth, getting on their cots, she takes the opportunity to read another book. And then she closes her day in the afternoon circle with a very short book, not a dialogic reading. So, strategy to individualize questions in large group dialogic reading. Make questions for specific children to give them the opportunity to use key vocabulary or talk. And by this, I mean that you actually write the child's name on your sticky note with their targeted question. So similar to a popsicle strategy where you have the child's name on popsicle sticks and you're pulling them out to make sure that every child has had the opportunity to respond to a question, on your sticky notes, make sure every child's name is noted. And this makes sure that every child is participating in the conversation, that is, not let the already very verbal children dominate the conversation, which might happen sometimes. And in that, you know, individual one-on-one time, again on your sticky notes, make questions for specific children to target key vocabulary or concepts. Reading with one child or a small group of children, as I said, allows them many more opportunities to participate in the conversation and enhances their opportunities for language. So I used the Very Hungry Caterpillar last week to demonstrate a large group dialogic reading. And so if we think about that same book for individualization, that you would just sit down with the child and, you know, so what is this on the leaf? An egg. Yes. And what color is the egg? And scaffold if needed, white. Yes, it's a little white egg. Can you say that after me and actually have the child repeat what you've said? If you're rereading with the child, another prompt type might be, just tell me what is happening in this page. Do you remember from when we read this book this morning at circle time? And then you could even talk about the moon, and the moon is white, right? So talk about the color of the moon and the color of the egg, discuss how they are both white. And then teacher expansion, yes, the round white moon is shining on the little white egg. And Erin has some comments over here. Thanks for using this. I read it in the same way to my students last Friday. Oh, good. And they loved it and connected to the book. And they read it before with their parents. Fabulous. Thank you for your contributions. So right on the following page, you can still have completion questions. And did they get that vocabulary that you were pinpointing in the morning? And then emphasizing colors if that's something the child needs to work on. So, you know, what do you see? The sun. And yes, we see the orange sun. What color is the sun? So the child has the opportunity to repeat it, orange. Yes, the orange sun is out, shining on the tiny, very hungry. And then again, caterpillar. And do you remember what the word hungry means when we read the story this morning? And the child, yes, it means when you need food. Yes, so the caterpillar is hungry. So what is he going to do now? You're right, he's going to go look for food. Do you remember? And do you remember what the caterpillar ate first? Introducing new vocabulary of ordinal numbers on the text on the next reading. And Sandra has a question here. What about for ELL? Should we do dialogic reading in first language or in English or in both, depending on what we want to focus on? I can't believe this. The next question, and Sandra, maybe you asked this last week. I would like to use the strategy to build vocabulary for my new ESL students. So great idea. We're going to talk about this more next week. The research actually does tell us that it really is important to use the child's first language to learn English. So I would want to encourage bilingual teachers out there to read the book in both languages if possible. So make sure the child knows the vocabulary in the home language and then introduce it in English. Again, next week we'll talk about families using dialogic reading and encourage families, if possible, to introduce the book in home language and also in English. Many of Eric Carle's books, as some of you hopefully know, are in English and in Spanish and in Chinese. So, a misunderstanding that some of my novice teacher candidates have, and I just thought I'd talk about this, is they will say, I'm going to ask my English, second language learner simple yes-no response questions because I want them to feel confident. So what is the challenge with this thinking? So you guys type away about why you would not want to ask your English, the second language learners, just yes and no response questions. What a great group of participants again. Yes. That it limits the vocabulary. The idea of dialogic reading, right, is that they are getting to use that vocabulary. You're actually encouraging them to say the words that you are targeting. So I tell my teacher candidates that if all I needed to learn was how to say yes or no in a different language, I actually would speak quite a few languages, and I'm sure many of you would also. I remind them that to learn a new language, I need to learn key vocabulary. And having concrete object or picture of that key vocabulary is going to be helpful. I need to practice talking in more and more complex sentence structures. And how that happens is hearing the language modeled for me, repeating after a competent teacher or another peer, will help that child learn to converse in that new language. So really, really important to use that peer sequence with your English as second language learners where you actually have them repeat and say the vocabulary over and over and over again until that vocabulary solidifies for them. Thinking that many of you in the pre-K world are familiar with the CLASP instrument developed at the University of Virginia, and I remind my teacher candidates that actually using this peer sequence and crowd throughout the day, when you're having conversations with children in center time, will help the instructional support part of what CLASP is looking for, and actually the instructional support part of the CLASP instrument gets the lowest scores. But if you're scaffolding for children, having that feedback loop, prompting their thought processes and providing that information when needed to expand on children's ideas, is what's so important. Language modeling is another part of the class instrument. So back and forth exchanges, frequent conversations, open-ended questions. Tell me about, or I wonder how you did that. Repetition and extension and advanced language. So I'm going to encourage you to use what you've learned about the peer sequence and crowd that's used in dialogic reading and take that into other parts of the day when you're having conversations with children, and to remember to ask them different types of questions, to have them repeat after you, evaluate their responses, extend on it, which will allow extended language for them. So fun for both you, the adult reading, and the children, and easy to learn how to do dialogic reading is what we talked about last week. And so I'm going to ask Molly to do a poll again, like who tried it with a large group? All right, so let's see who did it last week. And right, this is, there's a second poll going on here. Did you try it kind of as a tier two strategy, like, you know, just with one child or a small group? I'm loving it here that it appears that many more tried it than didn't, and I realize that there might be some new people on today, and so you weren't encouraged last week to try it, and love that some of you used it as a tier two strategy. Awesome. And I see, right, I'm an administrator. As an administrator, might you find a time to go into a preschool classroom and do a read aloud? I, as a university professor, always get my name on the list as the mystery reader, just because I love reading to young children. So I'm going to put that little thought in the administrator's head to say, wow, it might be really fun to spend 15 minutes sometime during the week going into a pre-K classroom and having this kind of wonderful conversation around the book. Oh, I love it. Here's an administrator that says, I have done special readings and just not this past week, so thank you. All right, I did it only with a large group. My students did very well and had difficulty not calling out the answers. Okay, we're going to talk about that as well. So thank you for being part of that poll, and we'll move on. You guys, it feels like I actually went out and had you prompt for the next part of my presentation. So yeah, did anyone feel they lost control? That is, that there was too much talking. So your response is, yes, I felt like there was too much talking, or it worked and it was fun to be in a conversation with the children, or not applicable because I didn't try it this week. Wow, this one looks pretty evenly distributed right now. All right. It was fun to be in a conversation with children seems to be taking the lead. Oh, I love it. Not too much talking. They were just really excited. It was great. It was hard to know when to cut off the talking. All right, and Elizabeth's saying my students are nonverbal special education, so we talk about that. Well, I love that 14 of you responded that you did it, and so over 50% of who's on today is saying that it went well. So, Molly, I think we can take down that poll. And, did you let children know if they could call out or needed to raise their hand? And so that's going to be dependent on your comfort level. I saw some people saying, I love it when my children call out. It didn't bother me. I love that the person, it looks like we used the talking bricks that were pre-recorded to say the repeat sentence. Fabulous. My group had a hard time when it was time to move on. Very excited, but the engagement was nice to see. Fabulous. So remember, I talked last week that you can use icons as cues to what you want. So you can say, today you can call out, or today we're going to raise our hand when you want to talk. Or you might even do that on a specific question. I like this example. I use talking sticks when I want my students to wait their turn. Or again, you can put children's names on each sticky note to target the question to one child in your group. So you can say, Colin, can you tell me about a time when your mom told you to stop playing because she needed you to do something with her? And if you have every child in your classroom with a targeted question. But again, I'm thrilled to hear that many people just used it as dialogic reading is intended and that it went well. So distancing questions, did that get a lot of talking, and how many of you use turn and talk? So, Deborah, I loved it. I used turn and talk and gave children opportunities to share. Ah, I love it. I called it think, pair, share. Great. We use it regularly, and the kids love it. Right. Sharing, pair or a turn and talk, it does give everyone a chance to participate. We call it Buddy Buzz, and the kids love it. Great name. All right. Wow. Thank you. Looks like a lot of you used it this week. And, it is a great additional opportunity for children to communicate and share ideas. So I encourage you to use it often. You can also use an icon to make sure both children have an opportunity to talk. So determine the first child who will begin to share and then give a signal for a switch. And your job, did you get out of your seat and go around and listen in on conversations, have a signal to get the children's attention back on you? Did you allow a few children to share? And it looks like that many of you said you did. So remember, you're an active participant in this pair and share. Had teachers also use icons to signal attention back on you. So you can put up a symbol that's eyes and ears back on me. for thumbs up. If you've had a chance to talk, okay, voices off, eyes and ears back on me. Oh, I love this too, right? Children who might have challenging behaviors, that they are your paired child, so they actually share their ideas with you. What great one-on-one teacher attention time. And I love this. I use a quiet 10-1 countdown. Put up their pyramids and open hands. Molly, perhaps we can capture all of these ideas at the end of this and share that on the website, because all of you have great ideas. So I wanted to use Head Start standards as just an example of language and literacy goals that I'm sure are similar to the pre-K standards that you have to follow. And Head Start says that communication is fundamental to the human experience, and language and literacy are essential to children's learning. And programs must promote language and literacy goals for all children. Children who are dual language learners need intentional support for the development of their home language as well as for English acquisition. And so when you think about using dialogic reading, you are hitting on numerous standards. I won't go through all of them, but just wanted to give a quick overview of how many standards could be touched on by using dialogic reading. So shows recognition of words, phrases, and simple sentences, participates in conversations, is able to attend to conversations, understanding of complex statements, questions, and stories containing multiple phrases and ideas, able to give verbal and nonverbal signals to acknowledge and comment on questions of others, responds increasingly to simple stories, the understanding of questions and stories, responds appropriately, demonstrates understanding of those variety of question types of not just yes, no, but who, what, where, why, how, do you remember, have you ever thought about, shows understanding such as nodding or gestures in response to the content of books being read aloud. And children who are dual language learners may demonstrate more complex communication and language in their home language than in English. With support, may be able to tell one or two key events from a story, retell two or three key events from a well-known story. So a good suggestion last week by a peer was I always make the book available to my pre-K students after I share the book, and many would try retelling for themselves or to a friend. So great suggestion. You can have props also available in the Library Center with the book to allow children to act it out. In subsequent circle time, allow children to play a more active role in retelling the story. Again, additional opportunities to use the vocabulary, additional opportunities to be in an active language experience. I'm sure all of you are aware there are numerous printables online for many Eric Carle books. If you did not know this, just Google it. Here's an example of the Hungry Caterpillar made out of a can that children can feed for retelling the story. So they can be over in the literacy center with all of the props and retelling the whole story. So props during the story can be used as you read it or as a follow-up to dialogic reading. Typically, if you use props in your retelling, that's much more like an interactive storybook reading. So again, I don't want to confuse people, but if you done your dialogic reading, this is a great follow-up. So yes, all of those retells or acts out a story that was read, putting the events in appropriate sequence, answers questions about details of a story, answers increasingly complex questions, provides a summary of the story. And it looks like many of you have done this, have used the props. So again, when we talk about a response to intervention model, I'm going to suggest again that dialogic reading is a foundational tier one practice. So now we've also, though, talked about how you could use it as a tier two and tier three practice. Can individualize the prompts for a book for a particular child. Choose a book that is high interest for a particular child. So if you know that a child has a particular interest in bugs or dinosaurs or trucks, then you can choose a book to get them engaged in a conversation. Choosing a book that targets key vocabulary you want the child to learn, and choose a book for English as second language learners that also can be introduced in their home language. And it's fabulous, again, for all of those of you who are bilingual, to give that vocabulary in both languages. So just a reminder of the research. Last week, children can jump ahead by several months in just a few weeks of dialogic reading. So very powerful. And that's why I was so enthused to get the information out to you in that very first webinar, hoping that many of you would do readings this past week. So your job, if you did not do a dialogic reading this week, is to go back and look at the first webinar that you missed. Take time to watch it. If you did try dialogic reading, please try it again, and please keep doing it with your children. Try to find time to do dialogic reading with one child or a small group who can benefit. An opportunity again next week to ask questions. Book selection, high interest, colorful illustrations, not too much text, but text that allows for conversation with the children. Opportunities to ask all types of crowd questions. Opportunity to have a conversation around the book. And those of you who did have success this week with a dialogic read-aloud, can you quickly type in the titles and then Molly can share it with the group? All right, lots of typing, I see. All right, we're going to generate quite a list here, which is fabulous. And these are absolutely some of the favorite stories that I see being read or I use in reading to the preschoolers. So keep typing away. In your planning introduction, read the title, the author, and illustrator. Give children a purpose for reading the book. You want to capture their interest. Use the handout that was provided to plan your crowd prompts during the reading. Make sure you have a minimum of two types of each crowd prompt. Put the questions on a sticky note on the page where that question will be asked. Be thinking of how you will expand on children's responses as you read. And don't simply just end the book. have children retell the story, that is, have a distancing question to relate the book to their lives. So there's the crowd strategy planning sheet, which is up on the website. So what I'd like to ask some of you to do is to send your planning guides to Molly by Sunday at midnight, and then I can select a few to give feedback on next week. And if you're willing to give an email, I will contact you to see if you are willing to share how your read aloud went. That is, I will share your story. And Molly just put up her email. So the main thing, it's important for you and the children to be engaged in a conversation around the book, to have fun. New information shared next Thursday, the benefits of families using dialogic reading with their children, so how you can get this information to the families of your children. Cultural consideration for linguistically diverse children, and my niece's daughter, so my great niece, who is bilingual, will be a star in the presentation next week, and we'll watch her development from the time she was an infant until she was 3 years old. And yes, The Mitten is an excellent book. I'm looking over here, and children love acting that out. They can act that out for days on end. So I look forward to being with you again next Thursday. But questions from today, please go ahead and type those in. We still have a few minutes together, or I'll do what I did this week. Molly will send me the questions from the chat, and then I'll have responses. And I really, really appreciate all of you being such active participants again. So, Catherine, do you have a template of what you're looking for in the planning guide? I pretty much presented that in the first webinar, Catherine, but I can certainly make up a mock template and give that to Molly to put up. Yes, so that's what I said. I will share a template that can be put up on the website. Well, I really want to thank you again and just want to encourage all of you to keep reading. And Erin, thank you so much for sharing that it went well doing your read aloud. And yes, we will definitely get a list of all of those book suggestions up as quickly as we can. Right, Erin, keep on reading. Absolutely. Again, I just want to encourage you with that thought from Dr. Whitehurst about how you can enhance language so dramatically in such a short period of time when children really do have an opportunity to be engaged in a conversation, to have the opportunity to practice vocabulary, have the opportunity to enhance their language and communication skills. So thank you for continuing to read to children, and I will see you again next Thursday at this time.
Thank you so much, Dr. Palsha, and thank you to all that joined. We'll hope you'll be back with us next week. I'm going to post the evaluation here, and you'll also get it via email if you could take a few minutes to complete that. We appreciate that. Dr. Palsha, if you wouldn't mind hanging out for a minute, I'd appreciate that.
All right. I certainly will. Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.